Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Today's lesson comes from Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31, where we hear the story of Jesus' encounter with a wealthy young man who seems to be very spiritually minded. As I was reading through our lesson today about Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler, and his resistance to let go of his stuff, it reminded me of a tragic story I read several years back. The man's name was Gordon Stewart, and he lived in England. Stewart was often seen riding around town on his bicycle, going through trash cans and dumpsters, and carting home the treasures that he would find. All of his neighbors were used to seeing him make his rounds on a daily basis, until one day someone realized that they had not seen him for several days. He also asked his neighbors, and no one else could remember seeing him lately either. The police were called, but when they entered his home, no one was prepared for what they found. The house was filled to the ceiling with junk and trash of every kind. Navigating through the home was only done by using a series of tunnels that snaked through the rooms. The stench was so bad that the police called in the local dive team, which used their breathing apparatus to search the house. Finally, they found Stewart's body in the corner of a room. He had died from dehydration. Police speculated that he had simply gotten lost, disoriented in the labyrinth of tunnels, and could not find his way out. The headline in the Sun newspaper read, "Human mole dies of thirst, lost in his own tunnels of trash." Stewart suffered from a type of obsessive-compulsive disorder that caused him to pick up and to keep almost everything he could get his hands on. He saved everything and was constantly looking to acquire more. Compulsive hoarders find it almost impossible to get rid of anything. Because of this, their homes soon fill up with stuff. Furniture is piled high, rooms are filled to the point that only a few trails exist through them. While Stewart's case is an extreme one, it shows what can happen when the desire to always acquire more and more and more is not controlled and kept in check. According to the Obsessive Compulsive Foundation, they estimate that this syndrome affects somewhere between 700,000 to 1.4 million Americans who are in desperate need of treatment for their condition. As we said, this is an extreme example of a person's desire to always want more stuff. But don't we see many people in this country obsessed with getting all that they can get? It seems that there are a lot of people who do not understand the concept of enough. They may not save their trash, fill up their homes with stuff to the point of only having paths to get around in their houses. But do we, as Americans, simply put too high of a priority on just getting more and more and having more? Think about it. How many people do you know of who leave their cars parked in their driveways because their garages are so full of stuff they can't even get them parked in their garages? Think of how much advertising dollars are spent every day to make people feel that what they currently have is somehow inadequate, and that the only way they will achieve true happiness is if they go out and immediately buy the latest and newest house, car, TV, iPhone, computer, whatever that may be. And we have not even mentioned the biggest and most popular of American holidays that is already being seen and advertised in stores, when we gather at the mall and worship the gods of materialism for the Christmas holiday. There is obviously a problem in our society with our values. When people are trampled to death trying to get into a Walmart for the latest Black Friday deal. I believe Black Friday is a very appropriate description for this day, but not for the reasons that it was given that name. Even though This desire to always have and get more is pervasive in our American culture. It really is nothing new. It has been around since people began living together in groups. When one person began to notice that their neighbor's cave was a little bit bigger and nicer than the one they were living in. That's probably when it all started. Over the centuries, we have given this desire, this hunger we have to always get more and more, many different names. We call it greed, avarice, envy, covetousness, chronic wealth syndrome, or chronic affluence syndrome. Whatever name you put on it, it has the potential to cause a great deal of harm to those who will not address it and keep it in check. When the overwhelming urge to accumulate and hold on to material things begins to dominate a person's life, it can be a serious, even life-threatening problem. The story we read in Mark's Gospel about the rich young ruler and his encounter with Jesus seems like a great example to me of someone suffering from chronic affluence syndrome. In verse 22, he is described as having great possessions. We can also conclude that he is a bit of a perfectionist. Look at how he describes himself and his keeping of the commandments. When he asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus gives him a little quiz. "You know the commandments?" Jesus asks. "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." I find it interesting that Jesus skips over the first four and names the commandments that pertain to human relationships and how we get along with one another. And the young man quickly answers, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." The young man seems to have a very high opinion of himself and his ability to live a righteous life while also being able to accumulate a great deal of wealth, something that is almost impossible to do. However, it should be mentioned that in first century Hebrew culture, prosperity and wealth were associated with God's blessing. And this was believed to come from righteous living and keeping God's commandments. On the surface, this young man appeared to have everything. But as comedian Stephen Wright once observed, "You can't have everything. Where would you put it?" Some people have learned all too late in life that when they were able to acquire all the things they thought would make them happy forever, all that stuff became more of a burden than a blessing. When people begin to believe that their inherent worth is bound up in all the stuff they have accumulated or what they have been able to achieve in life, they can become trapped and even exploited by their own possessions. I believe this is what Jesus was sensing in this young man, that he had a problem with his relationship to his possessions. That is why Jesus then tells the young man, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Verse 21. Mark tells of the young man's reaction to Jesus' suggestion, that upon hearing what Jesus had to say, he went away very sad, because he had great possessions. It is then Jesus makes one of his hard statements about wealth when he says that it is easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus tells this young man is not easy for many people to hear. It was not easy for the people then, and it is not easy for the people of today. Usually this story solicits one of two responses from people. The most common is, "Well, I'm sure glad I'm not rich." This means we can quickly dismiss what Jesus says as being someone else's problem. We just point to someone who lives in a much bigger house, who owns a lot more toys than we do, and suggest that they, and not us, are the ones that Jesus is talking about. However, the truth is that the average American spends more at Starbucks for a cup of coffee than many people in the world live on for a day. If you live in the United States and have even a modest home and income, you are wealthier than about 2.7 billion people in the world who live on less than $2 a day. Yes, we need to be very careful how we talk about the rich, because by world economic standards, we are talking about ourselves. The second response people have to this story is to simply write off what Jesus says as hyperbole. Jesus is simply testing what the young man would be willing to do, knowing full well that he will never give up his wealth to follow Jesus. But the young man's response to what Jesus asked is not lost on his disciples. They say, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Verse 28. Author Tom Sine writes, "Western Christians want the American dream with a little Jesus overlay." So why is it that the average American Christian believes that discipleship should not cost us very much? I believe the story of the rich young ruler and Jesus' words challenge all of us to think about our lifestyles and evaluate our attitude toward our money and our possessions. I have heard it said that money is a wonderful tool, but a cruel master. Why do you believe that the Bible talks so much about money, possessions, and giving generously? Well, I believe it's because giving is something that does not come naturally for us. We must learn how to do it and practice it often until we begin to develop the right attitude toward these things. What Jesus tells the young man he must do so that he will have treasure in heaven reminds me of an old story once told to me about a rich man who thought he could take it with him. There was once a wealthy man who was preparing to leave this world. As he lay on his deathbed, he beckoned for his wife of 60 years to come close. When she did, he carefully gave instructions about what she was to do. He told her to go to the bank to withdraw half of the money in their account and place it in his briefcase. She was then to tie a loop of rope on the handle and put it in the upstairs room directly above where he now lay. He told her that he knew the end was near, and that when he passed on his way up to heaven, he would grab hold of the handle on the briefcase as he ascended. Well, the wife, being very faithful to her husband, followed his instructions to the letter, and soon after she completed her assigned task, he did, in fact, pass away, and the doctor officially declared him as dead. After a brief prayer offered by the priest, she went upstairs to see if the briefcase was still there. And sure enough, it was right where she had left it. "I just knew it," she said to herself. "I just knew I should have put it in the basement instead of up here." Well, remember Jesus' words, "Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." It would seem that you cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. So be careful of your attitude toward money and possessions. Do not be a hoarder. Learn how to give, and then practice giving generously at every opportunity. If you do so, I believe you will find that it will not only bring a great deal of joy into your life, but the door to God's kingdom will be much easier to find. So that we may be salt and light. Amen.